All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education special meeting of Monday, October 17th, 2011. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Fraker.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
And Mr. Freudenberg is not
here.
Okay, next up is the, I'm going to turn it over to you for a discussion of our debt.
I think Larry's going to give us a little
history
lesson first.
John and Ed can join in on this too, because they've been with me every step of the way. Basically, from when the high school was built in 1990 up until 2005, and all the construction that occurred in that time, we had 3.7 mills. Were used for bonds. And then we asked at different intervals the voters to approve locking that 3.7 mills in, and then allowing that 3.7 mills to be, it basically became a multiplication problem times the new values in the community. And as the values increase, 3.7 mills produce more available dollars for construction. Honestly, that worked incredibly well, because the values of the community were increasing, the need, because of the growth, the need that was there for construction. If you hadn't done it that way, your current taxpayers in a traditional, and John and Ed can explain this much better than I can, in a traditional bond issuance, in the early years, you have to raise the bonds up, or bond millage goes up in those earlier years and then declines over time. So the thinking was for the current taxpayer to keep it as low as possible, and then allow anybody that's moving in, who really you're building the buildings for, to participate at the same level. So the 3.7 mills did it that way, and that's how we did it. And it made sense. I mean, we talked to Moody's and Standard & Poor's, and it just worked until 2005, when House Bill 66 passed. We knew at that point that the value, we were going to lose about 30% of the value of this community, taxable value. Therefore, the millage had to increase. The state of Ohio was actually going to increase everybody's, it had a bond issue out there, by 0.5 mills anyway, as part of House Bill 66. And we raised ours an additional mill in order to pay for the addition to the high school of Northwood and Bunsold. So we had 5.2 mills at that point. And that would have been 2005. We also had committed some of our TIF dollars and some of our PI dollars, if necessary, if the values didn't increase times that 5.2 mills, if those values didn't increase, we were using some of the PI funds and some of the TIF dollars to go towards those. And again, that worked okay until it just, without the lack of growth, and then recently, the state budget bill changed the dollars available for the PI levy, and now we're at kind of at a crossroads, actually, of not being able to pay for that debt, basically because we don't have the value growth in the community that we once did, and we may have to become more of a traditional school district and allow that millage to go up a little bit in those early years and then decline as that debt is paid, or value increases, one or the other. So that's kind of where we are. I know that's kind of a Cliff Notes version. I've got a kind of a history here if you want it. Kind of describe just what I said. I put in my testimony that I gave in May of 2005 before the House Finance Committee. we knew at that point that we were gonna have a serious issue. We weren't gonna be able to pay for debt at 3.7 mils. And because the House Bill 66 changed us, we did have to raise millage. We also knew that over the long haul, I mean, that keeping that promise or estimate to the community, it's more of an estimate than a genuine promise, but that estimate out there that this is what your millage would be, was gonna be harder to do because of the slow growth of value. And then with the change that we've had with the PI, we're losing 25% of the PI levy every year. And it really becomes, you know, how are you gonna use that PI dollars? I mean, we've used those dollars, about $1 million a year, to pay for infrastructure needs, paving the, you know, the asphalt, fixing sidewalks, all those kinds of things. But I will tell you that in 3 years' time, you're gonna lose all that, because all of that PI will have to go towards debt if we don't do something right now. And then we're at risk of not taking care of the facility. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, that's kind of where we are.
So what year were we first not able to pay the debt with the bonds as they currently are?
2005.
When you passed them?
No, I mean, like, recently.
Oh. Without using PI or TIF?
It would have been 2005.
No, what you said, like, this problem with the values kind of going down, that we started...
Values aren't going down. Values aren't just have an increased at the rate that we thought.
When did we have to start supplementing the bond debt with the PI or anything?
2005. When House Bill 66 changed us.
I thought it was this issue that we were discussing tonight was more recent than that.
Well,
2008.
Well, 2008. I mean, in the economy, you know, did what it did. We knew that all of a sudden, you know, we were hoping that there would be more growth after House Bill 66. 2008 kind of put that on the back burner. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of growth in this community.
I think the TIF.
I know the TIF was always...
We thought the TIF would increase at a faster rate also, although we've used the conservative number for TIF, and we've been pretty much right on the TIF, but we really had hoped that it would be higher than it is right at the moment.
Was that 3.7 mils the maximum amount we could collect on those? So in 2008, when our values stopped, should our effective millage rate gone up at that point on the other ones other than the 2005 bond?
Could have.
You want to weigh in on that?
Well, the legal answer is that you can collect up to whatever the debt service is in any given year. The debt service is due for voted bond issues.
Right.
So every year, so to the extent that they were that debt service was being subsidized from whatever source, it was being kept artificially low with whatever the subsidy was. So Superintendent Zimmerman mentions traditional. Traditional is just you don't look anywhere else for your voted tax debt service, you levy the millage required every year for every bond you have outstanding. That wasn't being done here because as an incentive to pass a bond issue, I think the representation was, we think we can get it out at this millage moving forward, but there's assumptions with that. And the assumptions are, what are the TIFs going to be, what PI money is going to be available,
right,
to subsidize.
And values would increase.
And the values are the key, really. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, if the economy doesn't grow, then you can't, the 3.9 doesn't produce the same, or the 5.2 doesn't produce the same amount of millage that it was expected to when you were making those assumptions, whether that was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So in terms of your legal ability is to get what is required to pay that debt, and that's what the voters authorized. And what I think what the explanation here is that the tank is empty now. Those subsidization sources are not available anymore, and there is a bill to pay. And so the question is it all going to be true millage like it is in most communities for most years of debt service on bond issues?
Right, I guess that was kind of part of my question. I'm gonna go back before 2005, and then we'll look at those 3.7 mils that are in there. Was there, since I'm not aware of how that worked out, did we say we would not at any point ever bump that 3.7 up?
The language, ballot language does not, it's more, as I said before, it's more of an estimate.
Right, okay.
It's a goal, not a promise. And we talked about that in our meetings in terms of when we go forward with some subsidy monies available, that it is a goal and definitely not a promise.
I mean, really, that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to keep the millage, the bond millage, as low as possible for the current people who live here now.
Right.
You know, and that was the goal. And as new people moved in, they paid their fair share. Instead of it being a reduced rate, because you're building buildings for them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that was the goal. And you know, in 2005, there were so many unknowns. House Bill 66 changed the world for us. I mean, in many ways,
right.
Changed the world for us. But you know, we reviewed the values today with John. We're not too far off on the values. We would hope that they would be a little bit higher than what they are right now.
Projected,
but we're
about $735 million at this point, and we're
$688.5 million, $688 million.
Right.
We're too far.
Okay, so excluding that, the what we did in 2005, going backwards. So we were able. What's the maximum millage we could have pulled on that 3.7 mils?
Andrew,
what's the total voted millage there?
You guys had that.
We have one. One of them is actually we have one that was voted at 5.2, one's voted at 2.67, one's voted at 1.51, and one's voted at 1.6.
Can you go through those again?
And
that's what I was trying to find.
Leave the 5.2 out.
Yeah, the 5.2 is 2005, right?
Again, this is what they were at the time they were voted.
Right, that's voted mills.
Right.
But they can go higher than that,
yeah,
based on what the debt service is.
Yes.
That is based on the value at the time, the
you.
Amount of value in the taxing district at that time.
Okay.
And that's going to change every year. Even in a non-update year, it's going to change a little tiny bit with destroyed and new construction or whatever.
Okay.
So that was just the rate that was on the ballot language at that time. But as this gentleman mentioned, with debt service, it could go up. It's a floating rate based on what the debt service is from year to year and how that bond is constructed.
Okay, so when our valuations went down in 2008 or 2009, should those millage rates have been increased? Taking out the 5.2, I just want to talk about that millage rate there.
In a fixed rate levy, that's how it works, is with a reduction factor. But this case, this is bonds. And so, yes, you could do that, but it's typically based on the debt service.
Right.
It isn't based on the reduction factor by the Department of Taxation assesses now. It's based on what is your debt, what is your principal interest for that debt for the coming year.
Right.
Now, does it tend to move kind of like a reduction factor? Sort of, kind of, maybe, yes.
Okay.
But is it exactly the same thing? No. It's based on the debt service for the next year. But as Larry so well laid out, this board chose not to levy the amount needed to cover all the debt service because there were other sources of revenue the board could employ.
Sure.
So they did not seek or did not request of the auditor at that time to make, to certify to the Department of Taxation, a levy or an amount equal to the amount that was voted at least at the times they were voted. They chose to certify something less, as Mr. Zimmerman pointed out, in order to spread out that growth and among current homeowners. And
gotcha.
But it's based on debt service.
Gotcha.
For the next year.
All right.
So that is what occurs every year?
Should, yes. Every single year, the county auditor, all 88 counties, has to look at the debt service for every school in their district and say, here are the values, what are your debt service, here's the millage I need to cover the debt service. Now, we have some spreadsheets that we have put together. You also can account for any cash that you may, if you've over-collected by a small amount, and typically that is prudent, so that if values drop, you don't have to maybe collect quite as much. The idea is not to collect more than you need in a practical way, but you should consider if you have any carryover balance. If you have none, which this district has none, then you would have to levy the full amount of your debt service. That is where that's where the sources of revenue is going to come from. But typically you look at what is my debt service and what is the revenue I already have coming in to pay that isn't otherwise spoken for.
Typically, you want a bond reserve.
Yeah, that's the carryover.
Of some.
Typically, you like that some, and over the life of a bond, folks I've talked to in other school districts have said when they've retired bonds, they get to the end of the 28 years, they might have $500,000 left over, or $200,000 left over, and then they get to have the fun Merry Christmas time of saying, what are we going to do with that money? You know, we over-collected not a big amount. That wouldn't even be a half a mil or a tenth of a mil in any decent-sized district or a district that has any size to it. Tiny school district, maybe, but what can we do? And this gentleman would know better what legally they're allowed to do with it than what I would know. But it's prudent to over-collect just to the point where you don't get to the point where we're going to default or we have no money to pay our bills.
So then we haven't been collecting enough since, like, 2008, and just been pushing it out and pushing it out.
We've been collecting enough, but we've also been subsidizing with our TIF and our PI.
Have we been subsidizing more since 2008?
We've been subsidizing about $2 million since 2008, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prior to 2005, we didn't do that. We just took the collected mills and paid off our debt before the 2005.
No,
bond issue, right?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Correct, because
so
we didn't have the PI until about that time, and the TIFs didn't come
right
about that time. 3.7 mils at that time, Doug, when we were increasing, you know, estimating 3% growth, we were getting 8% growth.
Right.
And we were getting, you know, in revaluation years, we were getting 14 to 17% growth and estimating 5 to 8%. So we had more growth,
right?
That times that 3.7 produced
more
dollars towards construction than what this slowdown now has done for us.
So the debt associated with those three levies, is that debt service being met by what we're collecting? So, like,
it's all combined.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's combined, and I can't separate it out.
Yeah.
I can't figure.
Andrea and Amy separated it out.
We know what the debt service is by levy.
Yeah, they know what it is. Now, it was lumped together. They unlumped it. Is that a word?
She unlumped it.
Yeah.
Amy unlumped
it.
That'd be interesting to see them lump.
Yeah, and that was an interesting process, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Got each of the debt services, they're stapled together with a total on the back. And if you'll bear with
me
for a second, I can walk you through it. Based on the millage year is on the left, and it tells you, and then this is something I'm sure you two have seen many times. It lists at the top of the front page, it lists in the first case, 1998 school district on the left, and then you can see the assessed valuation. Now that number is slightly different than what Mr. Adams said because this is an uncertified number. I have not submitted my abstract to the current taxation yet, but as of our numbers, with new construction being entered in, we still have a few Board of Revision decisions to post. None of them are significant. So we're looking at a value a little closer to 691, but again, that's not certified. But for our talking perspective, we use a 5% delinquency rate. I believe that's a little high. It was closer to 3.5 last year, but again, we would rather err on the
conservative side.
We can give some back as opposed to we need more. And then the principal and interest for that note for the year and subtracting out the TPP reimbursement that will be applied to that particular levy. And then on the right column, what it would be, what would be the total need after you have a principal interest payment that's due, in this case $1.25 million, less the TPP reimbursement payment, would be equal a need of $9.25 million. Now, you can look at the raw number, which is the next set of numbers down. We have a need divided by the valuation gives us a millage rate of 1.34 in that first bond issuance. Now, if you add the delinquencies in there, your millage goes up a smidge because that's 5% that you wouldn't collect. If you have a cash balance, which you do not, but if you did have a cash balance, your need might go down just a smidge. Here, in this case, we do have a small amount of cash. So your millage goes back down to what was before, if we're actually applying that TPP revenue. And then at the bottom, we've got, again, the need plus the delinquency minus cash divided by the same assessed valuation gives you a rate for that particular bond issuance. less the current rate of 1.9. In that case, you're collecting slightly higher than what the rate is, what the current collection rate is. But that same procedure is the only one that is collecting slightly higher. If you go to the other three pages, you'll see the same kind of breakdown. A 1995 bond issue, you work it down to the bottom in red, and a rate that is needed is 1.53. The current collection rate is a half a mil. So that particular bond issue was a 1.03 mil short.
Is this assuming no PI contribution for 12?
Yes, it assumes no PI contribution.
Thank you.
And then the next one, which is 2005, shows it in red, a rate of 3.18. Current collection rate is 1.5, so that would need a 1.68, is what's in green millage to make that particular levy, to make those payments after TPP. The next one is the 2000 levy. Same thing, we need a rate of 2.5. We're currently collecting that particular bond at 1.3, gives you an additional millage to make that particular bond issuance whole 1.2. The last page summarizes it all. Gives the current collection, as Mr. Zimmerman said, of 5.2, and that's for all those debt issuances together. And we need 8.63. Leaves an additional millage to make whole all the debt of 3.43 mils. And then I put an impact down at the bottom just to give you an idea. When Mrs. Ritter had mentioned that what you were supplementing was several million a year, that plays out here with our new, yet uncertified, but pretty close valuation of 691 with 3.43 mils to make whole, that would yield about 2.3 million in revenue. Now, I won't certify that. I'll certify 93% of that, but it's close. And then that would show what the value or the cost on a $120,000 value of a home. Just kind of a way of looking at it to say, here's what the raw need would be, and who the cash balance, yes, what's the delinquency, no, that kind of a thing to.
This helps a lot.
Trying to break it down.
So, with that, what I did was I just went through some thoughts as we talked about at the last.
Make one more question.
Sure.
So with an 05, that's when we, that's a whole save $27 million thing, that levy, right? That's the bond levy that we passed.
Yeah, anything that was passed prior to September 1st of 05, you received value that existed at that point, which was prior to TPP being taken out. So you received more reimbursement from the state, more TPP reimbursement.
My understanding back then was that we had already had secured some sort of debt that we converted it into bond debt.
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to understand
COPs.
That a little bit better.
Correct.
40 million. 40 million, okay. And that was in, what's that referred, is that the certificates of
participation?
Okay.
COPs went to bonds because there was an advantage for being in debt.
Right,
bonds.
I do remember that. Okay, that reconciles what I was thinking. All right.
Because that wouldn't have been seen, we would have lost reimbursement.
Right. And some of that money we're getting from the state is what helped us keep the millage down.
That's
right.
Correct.
All right. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Because basically you got $27 million more of a reimbursement over time than what you would have received if you had left it alone.
That $25 million in new money in 2005, August of 2005, has passed. That would have required about two new mills as opposed to one new mill. If you hadn't converted that COPS debt into voted bond debt and refinanced it, replaced it with voted bond.
Okay, so it's 25 new mil or 25 million new money, 40 million in COPs, and
right.
Then got it. Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you.
So this may be a silly question. If we hadn't, let's just take that 2005. Let's pretend that never happened. I'm going by Andrew's debt schedule. I mean, we're still down a couple mills. Would we have been paying more in taxes? Because at that point, there was no agreement to do anything with any PI money. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Yes, you could have been, yes. We probably more than likely would have had to have the auditor raise the rates at that point.